This week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach, and we are going to discuss what is written in chapter 14, verse number 4. In chapter 14, after the spies came back and they brought evil reports of the land, and they said that Hashem is not able to conquer the land of Israel, then in verse number 1, the whole congregation cried that night. That night was the ninth of Av. And the Gemara explains that Hashem said, "You cried for nothing, I will give you a reason to cry." And eventually in the ninth of Av, we mourn the destruction of both temples. Then the people complain to Moshe and Aaron, the whole Jewish congregation, and say to them, "We wish we would have died in the land of Egypt or in the desert. We wish we would have died. And why does Hashem bring us to this land to die by the sword? Our wives, our children will be taken captive. It's better for us to go back to Egypt." And then in verse number 4 it says, "Vayoimru ish el achiv," a man said to his brother, "Nitna roish," let us appoint a leader, or let us give a head, "venashuva mitzrayma," and let us go back to Egypt. Rashi brings two different interpretations. One interpretation is ketargumoi, as the Targum interprets, "Nimne reisha nosim moleinu melech," that we should appoint for us a king, a leader, that should take us back to Egypt. And then Rashi says, "V'rabbi seinu pirshu," now rabbis interpreted this as loshon avodah zarah, as a language of avodah zarah, of idolatry. Which, in the simple interpretation, it really means that they were ready to commit idolatry, because they weren't happy with Hashem. They thought Hashem is powerless to take him inside of Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to have a different God that will take him back to Egypt. The Balaturim brings the same idea, and the Balaturim actually says that this is the same idea as the Egel, as the golden calf. By the golden calf, in Kisisa chapter 32, verse number 1, the people assembled and they said, "Kum, rise up, aseilonu Elohim, make us a God, arshe yelchu lefoneinu, that will go before us." The word asher is the same letters as roish, aleph shin reish, is the same letters as roish, head, reish aleph shin. So in the same way that there they wanted to have a God that will take him, so too here, they wanted to have a God that will take him back to Egypt. Also, he says that in the same way that the golden calf was done 40 days after the Jewish people experienced revelation at Sinai and they received the Ten Commandments, so too the sin of the spies was 40 days after Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies on their journey to look at Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that after 40 days by the golden calf they rebelled. Here too, after 40 days that the spies went to visit Israel, they rebelled. And in the same way that the golden calf was idolatry, so too here it was idolatry. A lot of Meforshim interpreters by the golden calf do not want to say that the Jewish people committed idolatry outright, because it's inconceivable that they saw Hashem and 40 days later they would commit idolatry. Therefore, Meforshim there give different interpretations of the sin. Either they wanted to have a medium to talk to Hashem because they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there, or other interpretations of what exactly the sin was. And here too, because of this idea that we don't want to accept that the Jewish people should want to commit idolatry at the flip of a head, specifically this generation that saw all the miracles when Hashem took them out of Egypt, and they were at Sinai, and at Sinai Hashem opened for them the seven skies, and they were able to see that there is nothing but Hashem, as Rashi in Devarim chapter 4 verse 35 brings, then how is it possible that people like that will commit idolatry? To answer this question, Sefer Shemen Roish brings an analogy from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Zayin, Omed Aleph, 107a. There, the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Bikesh David HaMelech Lavoid Avodah Zarah, that David HaMelech wanted to commit idolatry. Meaning that when Avshalom was chasing David HaMelech, Avshalom was the son of David, and he wanted to take the throne, and he was chasing David HaMelech. At that point, David HaMelech wanted to engage in idolatry. Shanema, it brings a pasuk, a verse in Shmuel 2, chapter 15, verse 32. It's written, Vahi David ba adoroish, and David came to the summit, Asheshtach v'sham l'Elohim, where he used to bow down to Hashem. And the Gemara continues, Ve'ein roish el avodah zarah. The word roish means idolatry, shenema, because it's written regarding the avodah zarah of the Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, verse 32. It's written, Salma roisha didahav tov. The image it had was of fine gold. So we see that roish is idolatry. By the way, the Medrash Agadol uses this verse of Daniel to say that here by the spies, when they said, Nitna Roish, let us give a head and we should go back to Egypt, that is referring to idolatry, because in the verse in Daniel, the word Roish there refers to idolatry also. And we see also that David HaMelech wanted to commit idolatry. And what happened? When David was considering this option, Vihinali Krosich, and in front of him comes Hushai, Hoarki, Kidarkite, Korua, Kutontoi, his tunic torn, Vadoma, Roisha, and earth upon his head, meaning Hushai came in clothing of mourning, and he stood in front of David, and he asked David, Yoimru, people are going to say, Melech Sheke Moischo, Yavoy Davodezare, a king as great as you is going to engage in idolatry. Why would you want to engage in idolatry? Omar Loi, so David HaMelech tells Hushai, Melech Shekemoisi Yargenu Bnoi, a king like me will be killed by his son, meaning if I don't do this, people will say that it is not just that a king as good and as pious as David HaMelech should be killed by his own son. So Mutav Yavoy Avodah Zarah, better I should commit idolatry, Valischalal Shem Shamayim Bifresya, and the name of Hashem should not be desecrated publicly. Meaning, the simple interpretation, that David HaMelech wanted that people should not blame Hashem for what Avshalom, his son, is doing to him. Therefore, he thought that if he commits idolatry, then people will think that the reason that this is happening to him is because he committed idolatry. And they're not going to blame Hashem, because they will say that since David HaMelech left Hashem, therefore his son Avshalom is trying to kill him. Because if he does not commit idolatry, and then the son is chasing his father to kill him, people will say, how can somebody who is devout to Hashem be so persecuted? Therefore he thought that maybe if he commits idolatry, then people won't blame Hashem for what Avshalom is doing. They'll blame David that he is doing idolatry. Therefore, David HaMelech wanted to give the impression that he is committing idolatry. Sefer Shemen Roish explains that this same logic was the logic that prompted the Jewish people to do idolatry. Meaning, these people who believed in the spies believed that Hashem cannot take him into Eretz Yisrael. That Hashem has no power to conquer the kings of Eretz Yisrael, since the king of Eretz Yisrael are so mighty, that Hashem has to leave him in the desert. Therefore, they didn't want that people would think that Hashem doesn't have those powers. They wanted that people would think that Hashem left them in the desert because they committed idolatry. Therefore, in order to not cause a chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, they decided that they're going to commit idolatry. Like that, if people, the other nations, see that the Jewish people are left in the desert, they will say that Hashem left them not because he couldn't take them into Israel, but because they committed idolatry. Even though this interpretation that we gave on the story of David is the interpretation of the Yad Rama and the Maral, and Sefer Shemen Roish adapted it to the story of the spies in the desert, nonetheless, we have to understand how can such a thing be. Meaning, we know that there are three capital crimes that we are not supposed to transgress, even if somebody is threatening our life. And those things are idolatry, meaning if somebody puts a gun in your head and tells you to commit idolatry publicly, then you're supposed to die and not commit idolatry, immorality, and murder. But one of them is idolatry. And I have explained that the Gemara explains that since idolatry is when you accept something as a god, that means technically you cannot force somebody to commit idolatry, because even if you bow down to the idol, but your heart is towards Hashem, that is not committing idolatry. And in that case, you are not supposed to die, with the exception when we are dealing in public or somebody who is public. Meaning that if it's in public, then we have a requirement that we have to die and not commit idolatry. Then the question is, what kind of logic is David HaMelech using? Meaning, David HaMelech is doing public idolatry in order for Hashem's name not to be desecrated. By him committing idolatry, there is no greater desecration of Hashem's name than that. The fact that a king like David HaMelech could commit idolatry, there is no greater desecration than that. And the fact that maybe Avishalom is going to kill him, that is really not David HaMelech's business. As the Gemara writes down in Brachas Daf Yud Amed Aleph 10a, by the story of Chizkiyahu, when he didn't want to have any kids, and the prophet Yeshayahu comes to him and says that you will die and you will not live, meaning you'll die in this world and not live in the world to come. Then Chizkiyahu HaMelech asks him, what did I do so wrong? Then Yeshaya tells him, you didn't get yourself involved in marrying a woman to have kids. Then Chizkiyahu HaMelech says that I didn't do it because I saw prophetically that out of me is going to come out the evil king Menashe, and I figured that if I don't have any kids, then I'll prevent Menashe from being born. At that point, Yeshaya tells the king Chizkiyahu, Bahade kavshe derachmane lamalach, why do you concern yourself with the hidden things of Hashem? My demifkedes iboilach lemevet, whatever you are commanded, you are supposed to do. Then the same statement that Yeshaya told Chizkiyahu applies to David HaMelech, meaning, Bahade kavshe derachmane lamalach, why are you concerned with the hidden things of the Merciful One? Meaning, what Hashem does is Hashem's business, but that doesn't give you the right to transgress and to even give the impression of committing idolatry. Therefore, Mefarshim explained that what happened to David HaMelech and the meaning of the words that David HaMelech wanted to commit idolatry in a completely different light. For example, Rabbi Yonison Eibshitz in Yaros Vash 1:11 explains that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Omed Beis 7b, says in the name of Rish Lakish that Kol HaMamit Dayon She'ein Hogan, that anybody who appoints a judge that is not qualified over the community, Kilu Noitel Asherah BeYisrael, it's tantamount of him planting an Asherah. Asherah is a tree that's made for idolatry. So somebody who appoints a judge that's not proper, it's like he would have planted this idolatrous tree among the Jewish people. Why? Because it's written in Dvarim chapter 16, verse number 18, Shoiftim v'shoitrim titan lecha, that you should place judges and officers for yourself, meaning that we have a requirement to appoint judges. And right next to it, it's written in verse 21, Loisita lecha asherah kol eitz, and you should not plant an asherah of any tree. From the juxtaposition, the Shlokish learns that if you place on the community a judge that is not proper, it's tantamount of you planting an idolatrous tree amongst the Jewish people. Based on this, Rabbi Yonison Eibshitz wants to say that Chas v'Sholom, God forbid, that David HaMelech wanted really to commit idolatry. What David HaMelech wanted to do is to retire to private life and abdicate his throne to Avshalom. Because like that, he thought that Avshalom won't try to kill him. Because Avshalom wants to kill him, because David HaMelech is now the king, and he wants to make sure to kill the king, for him to become the undisputed king. But if David HaMelech retires to private life, then Avshalom has no reason to kill him, because David HaMelech is giving up his kingdom towards Avshalom. David HaMelech was a king and used to judge the people. And David HaMelech was also a very superb judge. As the Gemara in Brachas Dav Dalet Amud Alef 4a says, that David HaMelech said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Lo Chasidani, am I not devout that all the kings of the East and West sit among their company for their own glory? But as for me, my hands are soiled with blood, embryos and afterbirth, which I examine in order to permit a woman to her husband. And not only that, but I consult Mephibosheth, my teacher, about everything I do. And I ask him, Mephibosheth is my teacher, Yafet Danti, did I judge correctly? Did I declare liable correctly? Did I declare exempt correctly? Did I make Toher purify correctly? Did I declare impure correctly? And I was not embarrassed to do so. From that Gemara, we see clearly that David HaMelech was a righteous judge and a proper judge. But Avshalom is clearly not a righteous king, and he also was a corrupt judge, as it's written in Shmuel Beis, chapter 15, verse number 2, where there the prophet describes the sneaky way that Avshalom used to use in order to undermine the rulings done by David HaMelech and in order to create favor for him amongst the people. And there it says that before the person used to come to court, Avshalom used to greet him and hear his arguments. And then Avshalom used to say that, yes, you have great arguments and you are probably right, but you have nobody to hear your arguments in court. And Avshalom used to tell the person that who would give that I would be the judge in the land, and everybody who had a dispute in judgment would come to me and I would judge him fairly. And then Avshalom used to kiss the person, and like that he made favor with these people that were disgruntled, that were found guilty, and these people eventually would choose him as king over David HaMelech. But nonetheless, from that story we see clearly that Avshalom was a crooked judge, that if it was for his own interest, then he would judge accordingly. Therefore, by having Avshalom take his place, it's tantamount of David HaMelech planting an Asherah, an adulterous tree amongst the Jewish people, because Avshalom was not a proper judge. And therefore, the Gemara says that David HaMelech planned on making idolatry because he planned to abdicate his throne. And by that, it's tantamount of him committing idolatry, because now Avshalom is going to be the judge, and Avshalom is not a proper judge. And according to this interpretation of Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz, we could actually say that this is the reason why they call this idolatry Rosh ahead, because in fact, since he wants Avshalom to be the head, then Avshalom is going to be like the idolatry, meaning that since Avshalom is going to be now the leader, then it's really the head which is the idolatry. The head which is Avshalom is the idolatry, because he's not a proper judge. And when you appoint a judge that is not proper, it's tantamount of you doing idolatry. I wanted to answer that according to this idea of Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz, we could understand here too why here is considered idolatry. Meaning, Chas v'Sholom, the Jewish people want to commit idolatry. Clearly, the Jewish people believe in Hashem, but since they want to remove Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader, as the judge, and they want to put a Roish, another leader, to go back to Egypt, clearly the other leader is not as capable as Moshe Rabbeinu. Clearly the other leader is going to be a Manik She'eino Hagen, a leader that is not proper and is going to judge the people. Clearly he is going to be a judge that's not proper. Therefore, the Medrash says that they're doing idolatry because it's tantamount of them doing idolatry. Since they are appointing for themselves a leader that's not proper, And as we mentioned, the Gemara says that when you appoint yourself a judge that's not proper, then it's tantamount of you doing idolatry. Therefore, here we could say that they are not actually doing idolatry. They are doing something that's tantamount of doing idolatry because they're asking for a leader to go back to Egypt. Clearly, they don't want Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is tantamount of them doing idolatry. The Marsha also agrees that it cannot mean that David HaMelech actually did idolatry, and the Marsha answers that it means something that is written in the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kof Yud Amud Beis 110b, where actually, if you follow the Gemara, you will see clearly that there the Gemara also is going to say that David HaMelech did idolatry, but it has a different meaning. The Gemara there says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Le'olam yadir adam beretz Yisrael, a person should always live in the land of Israel, afilu be'ir, even a city sherubo oiv de kechavim, that the majority are idolaters, and you may come to learn from their action, it's still better to live in a city in Eretz Yisrael that the majority is idolaters, but they should not live outside of Eretz Yisrael, even in a city that's mostly Jews. Meaning, even though you're outside of Israel and you are in a city that's majority Jews, then you are going to be influenced for the good and not be influenced for the bad. Still, you should try to live in a city in Eretz Yisrael than living in a city of Jews outside of Israel. Why? Shekol Ador Beretz Yisrael, because anybody who lives in Israel, Doime, it's considered Kemi Sheyesh Lo Eloka, like somebody who has a God, Vechol Ador Bechutzol Aretz, but anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, Doime Kemi Sheyesh Lo Eloha, it's tantamount as somebody who doesn't have a God, Shenemar, because it's written in the verse, in Vayikra chapter 25, verse 38, Los es lochem es es Knan, Hashem is going to give you the land of Knan. Lio es lochem Elohim, to be for you for a God. That means that once you come into the land of Knan, which is the land of Israel, then Hashem will be for you as a God. But if you live outside of Israel, Hashem will not be for you as a God. The Gemara asks a question. V'chol she'eino dor be'eretz, ein lo Eloha? Anybody who doesn't live in Eretz Israel doesn't have a God? What does it mean? Hashem is over the entire world. What does it mean, doesn't have a God? The Gemara answers, Eloloi Malach, to tell you, Kol Ador Bechutz La'aretz, that anybody who lives outside Eretz Yisrael, Ki'ilu Oived Avoy Dezara, it's like he is worshipping idols, other gods. We are soon going to expound on this concept, but first we will continue the Gemara. The Gemara brings a proof to this idea that anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is considered as idol worship, and says V'chein beDavid Oimer, that in the story of David HaMelech also we see the same idea, because David HaMelech confronts Shaul and he says to Shaul in Shmuel Aleph chapter 26 verse number 19, and he says that if Hashem caused you to attack me, to go after me, then I will bring a gift to Hashem. But if other people caused you to go after me, then they should be cursed. Why should they be cursed? Ki gershuni ayoim, because they have driven me away today. Meistapeach benachas Hashem, from attaching myself to the inheritance of Hashem into Eretz Yisrael. Leimor is saying, leich avoid Elohim acherim, that go worship other gods. So the Gemara has a question. V'chimi amar le'David, who told David, Leich avoid Elohim acherim, that David HaMelech should go worship other gods. The Gemara answers, Eloi Malach, to tell you, Kol Ador Bechutzel Oretz Ki'ilu Oived Avet Kechavim, that anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is tantamount of him doing idol worship, which David HaMelech meant to say, that if other people cause you to attack me, since now I had to run outside of Israel, then it's like they would have said to me, go worship an idol. Not Chas V'Sholom, David HaMelech went to worship idols, but since he had to run away outside of Israel, it's tantamount of him worshiping idols. According to this, we see that the fact that David HaMelech had to run away of Israel, he viewed himself as worshiping idols. As he himself says that, in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 26, verse number 19. as the Gemara brings down. Then when the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that David HaMelech wanted to do idol worship, it means to say, according to the Marsha, that David HaMelech wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael. Since leaving Eretz Yisrael, going outside of Eretz Yisrael, is tantamount of doing idol worship, as David HaMelech himself said this before to Shaul. Therefore, here, when he was running away from Avshalom, he was contemplating going outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it says that David HaMelech went to idol worship, because it's tantamount of doing idol worship. But Chas v'Shalom, that David HaMelech actually did idol worship. And by the way, this idea of the Maharsha is used by Sefer Shema Shloima to answer a very strong question on the Pasuk in Shmos, chapter 2, verse 21. There the Pasuk says, Vayoyel Moshe lo sheves esoish, that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to sit with the man, meaning to sit with Yisroi. Rashi in the second interpretation brings down that Loshon Olo, that Vayoyel is a language of swearing. And Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu swore to Yisroi that he will not leave Midian unless he gets permission from Yisroi. But the Mechilten Yisroi, Yudches Gimel, says that Yisroi requested from Moshe Rabbeinu, Aben sheyeh lecha tchila, yeh lavoy dezara, mikam ve'elech l'shem shomayim, that the oldest son that is going to be born is going to be for idolatry, and any subsequent sons will be l'shem shomayim, for heaven's sake. The kibel alof, and the Mechilta says that Moshe Rabbeinu accepted this, vayish baloi, and he swore to him, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu swore to Yisroi that he is going to leave his eldest son for idolatry. And the question is, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu would give his son for idolatry? And there are numerous answers to that question there. But Sefer Shema Shloima uses this idea of the Gemara that says that anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is considered as he's doing idolatry. And he explains the following, that Yisroel was afraid that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to do a la Yaakov, meaning Yaakov came to visit Lavan at Paddan Aram. He had all his children, and then he left, taking away all his children and all his grandchildren, and leaving Lavan without any offsprings of Yaakov to be there when he gets old. Yisroel wanted a child to be able to help him out when he's old. Therefore, he wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu promises that the oldest son is going to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael, is going to stay in Midian. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, promised him that the oldest son will stay in Midian. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu agreed that his son should stay in Midian and not go into Eretz Yisrael is tantamount, as he would have said, that the child should be for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the context of the Medrash is that Yisroel requested that his oldest child should be for Avodah Zarah, which means that he should stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed. And eventually, Yisroel forgave Moshe Rabbeinu for the promise, and eventually Gershon goes into Eretz Yisrael. But we see clearly from these ideas that if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's tantamount as you are doing idol worship. According to this, Sefer Shemeroy says that here, by the sin of the spies, since the Jewish people said that Nitnaroish, that we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt, that means that the Jewish people don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. If the Jewish people don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, they want to go back to Egypt, that means that choosing to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's tantamount as doing idol worship. Therefore, Rashi says that they did idol worship, but not Chas v'Shalom, that they actually worship an idol at this point. It's tantamount of them doing idol worship because they decided that they want to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael and they don't want to come into Israel. Now we are going to explain a little bit of the concept of why somebody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is tantamount of him doing idol worship. Rashi explains simply that since when you are outside of Eretz Yisrael, you require to pay taxes to the pagan priests, to the governments who are in control, therefore you are supporting idol worship, therefore it's tantamount as you're doing idol worship, because you pay the taxes, and through the tax money those pagan gods are supported, then it's tantamount of you doing idol worship. The Rambam, in the end of Mamar Kiddush Hashem, explains very simply, since the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael are idol worshippers, meaning people outside of Israel do idols, and the fact that you want to leave Eretz Yisrael and live in their land, that means you are associating yourself with idolaters, therefore it's considered as you are also an idol worshipper. The Meiri goes with a deeper idea. The Meiri says that generally speaking, the environments outside of Eretz Yisrael are permanent home of pagans, and because they are permanent home of pagans, they imbue in the soil, in the place, a tumah, a level of impurity that causes a person eventually to succumb to this impurity, even though right now he is not doing idol worship and he lives in a city amongst Jews, but nonetheless, since the whole place is a place of idol worship, therefore he can't help but acclimate himself to his surroundings, and eventually those surroundings, those idolatries that were worshipped in that place, will cause him to corrupt his way. Because a corrupt place has influence even on a righteous person. And I could bring two proofs to the Meiri that the environment influences a person. The first proof is from what's written in Bereshis, chapter 12, verse number 4, where it's written there that Avraham Avinu is coming close to Egypt, and he tells Sarah Imenu that Hine no yodati, behold, I know, ki isho yefas mare'at, that you are a beautiful woman. And Mefarshim ask a question, what does it mean, Hine, behold? Because the Rashbam explains that every time it says the word Hine, behold, something changed from what it was. It's outside of the norm. Hine, behold, is something that was changed. And the proof that the Rashbam brings is from the story of Yaakov and Leah, where Yaakov thinks that he's marrying Rachel, but it's in the morning, Vehine hi Leah, and behold, she's Leah. The Rashbam explains that behold means that it was changed, that all night he thought that she was Rachel, and behold, now she's Leah. Then the question is, what behold is now that Avraham Avinu sees that Sarah Imenu is beautiful? In truth, Rashi and the Medrash give an answer that there was a story about the river that he saw her reflection in the river, then he realized that she is beautiful. But Mefarshim explained that the answer really is written in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says that when Avraham Avinu came close to Egypt, then he said, Hine no yodati, that behold, I know that you are beautiful, meaning that since Egypt is a place that's seeped in immorality, that immorality even affected Avraham Avinu somewhat, and Avraham Avinu is feeling it and he's saying, Hine no yodati, behold, now I know that you are beautiful, because all of a sudden he has these feelings for his wife that she is beautiful, and therefore he knows that he's coming to a place that's seeped immorality, and therefore he tells her that you should tell it to my brother in order for me not to be killed, because they are going to want to take you, and if you don't say to my brother, then they're going to kill me and take you. So we see that the place, Egypt, was such a corrupt place that even could influence Avraham Avinu. And the other proof is what's written in the Daza Ken in Baal HaTosfos in Bereshis chapter 28, verse number 12. There we have the story where Yaakov Avinu has a dream and he sees a ladder that's on the ground and the top of the ladder reaches the heaven. Vehine, and behold, Malach Elohim Oilim V'yordim Boy. The angels of Hashem are going up and then going down. Rashi asks a question, what does it mean going up and then going down? It should be just going down and then going up, because the angels are normally in heaven. Rashi answers that they had a change of the guards, that the angels of Eretz Yisrael went up to heaven and the angels of Chutz La'aretz came down. But Rashi still doesn't explain the Hine and behold. What's the behold? But the Daza Ken in Baal HaTosfos says something very interesting. Daza Ken in Baal HaTosfos says that in Parshas Vayera, when the two angels came to destroy Sdom, meaning that Raphael and Gabriel came to destroy Sdom, there the angels tell Lot a word that this is considered a sin to the angels. In chapter 19, verse number 13, the angels say that go quickly, Kimashchisim anachnu es hamokom hazeh, because we are destroying this place. Meaning that they said that they, the angels, are destroying this place. For that split second, they gave into Lot a thought that maybe they are the ones doing the job. Not that Hashem is sending them to destroy. They are the ones that are destroying Sdom. Because of that, says the Dazakim Balatoysus, they became kicked out of the Mechitza of Hashem, of Hashem's close quarters, and they could not go up to heaven. They were here for 135 years until Yaakov Avinu had this dream of the ladder, and he prayed, and because of Yaakov Avinu's prayer, they were able to go up to heaven. That means that Raphael and Gabriel were stuck down here for 135 years from the time of Sdom until the time of Yaakov's prayer by the ladder. But the question is, how is it possible that angels should make mistakes? And the answer is that since the angels went to Sdom, and Sdom is such a corrupt place, that could even cause angels to make mistakes. So we see clearly that a place that's corrupt corrupts a person, even though the person may not be corrupt at that time. Even though you're in a place that's completely Jewish, but since you are in a place that was steeped in idolatry, therefore, you are going to eventually commit idolatry. Therefore, when you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's considered as you are doing idolatry. The Ramban explains that since when Hashem created the world, He decreed that the events within each country should be controlled to some extent by an angel overseer designated to that country. And the only exception to that rule was Eretz Yisrael, as it's written in Parshas Ekev, chapter 11, verse number 12, where there it says, Eretz, Hashem Elokecho Doresh Shosatomit, that Eretz Yisrael is a land that Hashem your God seeks out. Einei Hashem Elokecho Bo, the eyes of Hashem are upon it. Mireishis Hashana, from the beginning of the year, but Achris Shana, until the year's end, which this verse clearly implies that Hashem watches carefully over Eretz Yisrael, but not over other lands, because in the other lands, Hashem gives the job to an overseer, but in Eretz Yisrael, He doesn't give the job to anybody. He Himself watches that land. That means that when you are in Eretz Yisrael, you are directly under the auspices of Hashem, whereas when you are outside of Eretz Yisrael, you are under the auspices of angelic forces. Therefore, it's tantamount as you are doing idolatry. Meaning, since you live outside of Eretz Yisrael and your behavior has to go through the channeling of the angels and not directly under Hashem's control, therefore it's tantamount of you doing idolatry. Sefer Shemeroish gives a different idea why in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered like you are under the auspices of Hashem, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's almost like you are not under the auspices of Hashem. And he explains that we know that the Torah and the Jewish people and Hashem are all one. That through the Torah and the mitzvahs that the Jewish people perform, they become connected to Hashem. And we also know that the main performance of Torah and mitzvahs is only in Eretz Yisrael. As Rashi himself brings down in Parshas Ekev, chapter 11, verse number 18, on the Vehoyo im Shamoa, which is part of the Shema that we are supposed to say twice a day, and we say there Vesamtem es Devorai Eile, that you should put these words, Alevavchem, on your heart, Vanavshechem, on your soul, Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says, Af le'achar shetiglu, that even after you go to exile, Hayu metzionim b'mitzvahs, you should perform the mitzvahs. Hanichu tefillin, put tefillin, asu mezuzos, put mezuzos on your door. Why? Kedei shelo yiyu lochem chadoshim kshetichzru. In order that when you come back, they won't be new. You will know how to do them. Meaning, in a deep way, that Rashi is saying that the performance of the mitzvahs is only in Eretz Yisrael. Even after you go to exile and you are still going to do the mitzvahs, that is only that in order for you not to forget when you come back and to be like new and you won't know what to do. So we making mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael, even nowadays, according to this opinion of Rashi, is only a practice for eventually coming to Eretz Yisrael and doing these mitzvahs. Because it shouldn't be new to us when we come back. And it's notorious, the idea of the Ramban in Vayikra chapter 18, verse 25, where the Ramban says that the Iker Kol HaMitzvahs, that the main purpose of the mitzvahs is only the Yoishvim Be'eretz Hashem, for those who are dwelling in the land of Hashem. And he brings proof that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters when he was outside of Israel, and that is prohibited. And the reason he could do that is because he didn't need to keep the Torah outside of Eretz Israel. The Torah is only binding in Israel. Therefore, he explains that anybody who lives in Israel and makes the mitzvahs and learns Torah in Israel, then he is connected to Hashem, then he has a God. But if you are outside of Israel, since you are not really connected to Hashem, because the Torah and the mitzvahs don't have the same value outside of Israel, according to this opinion, then it's considered as you are not doing it for Hashem. It's tantamount of you doing it for idolatry. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should merit to have Moshiach come. Then he'll gather all the exiles and we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, we'll perform the mitzvahs properly, we'll merit to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Amen.